Thanks for joining us on Code Chat today. I'm Jeremy Foster, also known as Code Foster, so you can find me online at codefoster.com or on Twitter at Code Foster. And joining me today is
Sanjeev.
Sanjeev, thank you for joining me.
My last name is not for mortals. It's D-W-I-V-E-D-I, which I call as Dwivedi, but I have also been called a DVD. So
DVD, that's how I remember it.
I just prefer to be called Sanjeev.
Sanjeev DVD, that's how I call you.
Or just call me Sanjeev, that works too.
There you go, Sanjeev works. So actually, this is our first episode of Code Chat. Mm-hmm. So here it is, episode 0 of Code Chat.
And I'm super excited.
Yeah, it's fun. And basically, the format here is Code Chat is going to be a roughly 30-minute polycast. Have you ever heard that term?
Actually, I haven't. Podcasts and many other casts, but not polycast.
The reason why you haven't heard it is because I just made it up.
There you go.
Polycast means that it's going to be available vodcast, podcast, whatever. And the reason why is because I personally get really frustrated when there's a really good video cast and I don't have any way of accessing audio only. So it's like out if I want to listen to it with my phone in my pocket or in the car or whatever.
So that's great because it also means you can hear it half distracted. You don't have to pay full attention
to
it, which is amazing.
Yeah, and vodcasts, I don't think there's a way to speed those up. Podcasts, do you listen to many podcasts?
Not really. What I really like is when I go to conferences and so on, usually, or if I did not get time to attend a conference, I would much rather take one of the big sessions, 1 hour, and I would just listen through that. I'm not that big on podcasts by myself.
Okay. I listen to them constantly. I drive across Lake Washington here, and I drive from Seattle to Redmond oftentimes, and so I might be on the road for 45 minutes or an hour.
That is actually a great, great idea. In the past, I used to listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I never actually thought when I'm driving on trips, I take a lot of trips, road trips. It's really hard sometimes to keep your eyes open, and actually having a podcast would make a great time pass.
Well, you know, the latest app on Windows 8.1, because I've got the Windows 8.1 on my phone, and the podcast app, the reason I was really excited about it, and now I've got it, and the reason why I was excited is because you can speed your audio up to 1.5 or 2x, so I can listen to it in 2x, and then whoever's talking on the podcast sounds kind of like you talking in real life.
That is not the first time I've been told. Just this week, I was talking to someone, and I asked a simple question, and the response was, what? And I was like, well, I mean, this is not the first time I've heard that phrase, and I guess, you know, I just need to slow down quite a bit, and as you can see, I'm actually trying to slow down, probably not very successfully, though.
Well, if that's slowing down, it's slowing down to normal.
Well, I mean, this is just my underlying language. Yeah. It goes really fast, so I just go fast in English.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, but hopefully we'll make it up in editing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll slow you down in editing. So, okay, so back to the whole purpose for Code Chat. This is a 30-minute, very casual conversation, but always talking to developers, you developers, and always talking about code, okay? Yep. So at least in a roundabout, but usually in a direct way, we're going to be talking about code, about trends in writing code, about, you know, we've talked about, we've heard from Microsoft program managers. We've, you know, we're going to be talking with developers in the field that are actually using Microsoft technologies. And these days, you know, you're never really just talking about one stack. So there's so much open source, so many platforms. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things. It's just as long as it has to do with code.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. I mean, I'm all here ready to talk about code. Let's start.
Let's do it. Let's talk about code.
Let's talk about code.
One of the interesting things with software developers, you and I are software developers, we're talking to software developers. One of the interesting things with software developers is that there's a whole community for software developers. I know I'm, with my role, I'm extremely plugged in with the software development community, at least in this area, and I've got colleagues that are also plugged in other areas. But software developers have a community. It's pretty interesting. Like here we are in a career and we go to meetups and we have all these groups. Why do you suppose that is?
I suppose, I mean, in my mind, really, software developers need communities because of two reasons. One, irrespective of how much software has actually progressed, software is still incredibly hard. It's not possible to do something all by yourself. And I shouldn't actually say hard. It's the scope is so big. There are so many languages, so many paradigms, so many platforms, so many frameworks that it is nearly impossible for you to go ahead and do it all by yourself. You do need help of someone else. And if you don't have communities, you just cannot move as fast as you normally do. For example, if I hit a problem, right, I don't go and knock on the next door neighbor saying, hey, do you know how to do that? Because they may or may not. Yeah. The first thing I do is go on Stack Overflow and see if someone else had that problem. So that's right where I need the community. I need a community to actually help guide me. And exactly the same thing. Once I hit a problem, I will go ahead and blog about it, or I will go ahead and answer a question on Stack Overflow, and so on and so forth. That's why we need software communities. Software is hard.
Okay, it is hard, but if I'm an air traffic controller, I imagine their job's pretty hard. Agreed. Or if I'm an electronics engineer, but and maybe the communities exist in roles like that, and I just don't see them. Do you think we just don't see the communities for around those roles, or do you think they don't have communities?
I think actually there are communities, but usually communities have been closer and tighter knit. For example, robotics, right? This is a niche, and there are people who would be doing robotics, and they will have their little club, and they will help each other out, and they will have BB board or a forum or a bulletin where they go and talk about this. Mm-hmm. But software is still a little bit, I guess, different. And let me think about, you know, if I had really had to articulate why software developers have communities. I would say sharing, like software is mostly about information, right? I mean, you can represent whatever you think about, whatever you build in terms of ideas. It's not like, you know, I need to actually give you this piece of hardware or this piece of whatever to actually help you build that. Mm-hmm. It's really like, you know, I can give you the idea, I can give you a code snippet, and then you can go and explore and build something on top of that, right?
Yeah.
And so software developers have this insane amount of knowledge, this insane amount of expertise that they want to share with others. Mm. And at the same time, they also realize if someone else shared something else with them, then they would be in a position to actually move much more forward,
much
ahead, right? And that's why I guess they naturally form communities, because it's knowledge that they're sharing with each other, and it helps them do their job more effectively. It helps others do their job more effectively. It's a natural community building exercise.
Yeah. I think that with software development, it's like we're creating, you know, there are producers and consumers, and it's not like it's perfectly segregated. We're producers in some ways and consumers in others. For instance, in the world of music, I'm entirely a consumer.
Yep.
But we as software developers, I think, are producers in that we're creating something, we're delivering it, there's a marketplace for it.
Yep.
But it's kind of interesting because what we deliver is not just something that's aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It is aesthetic. There's an aesthetic aspect to the apps or the APIs that we create and deliver, but it's also a functional delivery. So this thing that I'm getting from the app store looks good and feels good. It's something I want to use, but it's also something that changes my life. It affects my life. It helps me to find my airplane, you know, communicate with my family or whatever. So I think that in the software field, there's a lot of room for inspiration.
That is actually quite true.
Because you're thinking about the ways that you can paint on people, the canvas of other people's lives.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, one, software has this incredible reach, right, as you just said. You build something and it can affect so many people, and then someone else can pick that same piece of software, the idea that you put forth, and they can tack something onto it, they can add to it. This is unlike any other discipline that exists out there. You can take idea, you can refine, you can add more things to it. So it definitely helps it evolve. And I guess that's where the community part of it comes in. You put an idea forward, someone says, look here, I can take this idea and I can build this really cool, different direction of idea that you put in, right, instead of what you put in. And that's actually amazing. And in general, if you look at software, that's how software manufacturers also have started going in. For example, just look at Skype, right? Skype, it's a simple two-way calling, right? I mean, you call someone, you can have group chats and so on. When it began, there was no recording functionality in Skype, right? It was needed, so someone actually went ahead and wrote it for them, right? That's community for you, because community takes whatever you build and it extends and it enhances and so on, and it makes so much more than what you yourself could have done.
More than the
sum. Exactly, more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And that's what software is all about.
I'm trying to think about in our analogy here, you know, you have other mediums for art, you know, you've got sculpture and painting mm-hmm. and whatever, and very few of those are capable of interacting with each other.
Exactly.
You know, we've all heard a really good album come out that's a mashup of a couple of other artists, mm-hmm. and it's really cool because there's this collaboration, or we hear, I went to a concert where Norah Jones was singing with Bob Dylan. You know, here's this
exactly.
mashup of genres and this mashup of generations, really. And it's always really cool, and it happens, well, in the software world, mashups are par. I mean, there are so many places where you're all of a sudden getting, you know, tweets that are showing up on maps, and you're getting all these other ways in which the software works well together, because it is, you know, it's ubiquitous, it's available everywhere, everything's in the cloud and readily available, and so a software developer may not even write his own thing. He may just go grab two other things that exist and make a hybrid.
And that's actually really interesting, because you just pushed in the direction that I was thinking about, which is, by definition, if you look at the modern software development process, right? You take a piece of software, let's say you're building an application, right? And then you will go ahead and let's say if you're building a game, you'll go ahead and pick the graphics engine from somewhere else, which a community built.
Mm-hmm.
And you will stick it in your own. Then you need analytics, and you will go and pick another piece from somewhere else which another community built. And then you need database which another community built. So just look at how the sum of the parts really becomes so much more than what it is, because you did not have to do any of this by yourself. It was all community built, and you just put it together, and you brought up something that looks nothing like any of the individual pieces. You have something brand new.
Yeah.
This is really hard to do in art. Like, you can't have five painters painting the same painting. Just impossible.
Yeah. I know, it's interesting too that ends up coming down and affecting somebody's day to day. And I'm thinking of the Craigslist app that I use.
Wow. Yeah.
Where it trims my workflow from 25 minutes down to 5 minutes when I want to post, or I think it's less. I take like 2 minutes to post something now.
It's literally
using this app.
It's most of it is just, you know, editing the content, making sure you put your ad just right and putting the pictures.
Yeah.
And boom, you click.
If the app would actually measure my furniture for me while I was taking the picture, then it would be even less than a minute.
I guess so. That would be really awesome. We got to work on that idea.
Yeah.
Agreed. So,
This is a cool modern world for software developers. I think that it's a really exciting field to be in. I imagine that here talking with mm-hmm. developers today, we're going to be talking with folks that are maybe in college, just coming into a software development career.
Yep.
And other folks that have been doing this for a really long time, long enough to see that it all kind of comes full cycle, and
mm-hmm.
we're writing code much like I did 25 years ago, you know. Truly, this is a really fun and interesting time to be a software developer.
I mean, just look at the sheer number of various directions that people are taking this whole thing in. Look
mm-hmm.
at code.org, like teaching everyone to code.
Mm-hmm.
Look
code
at
dot art?
Code.org.
Org.
I believe
code.org.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, you know, all these big companies trying to get everyone engaged, trying to get, you know, young children engaged, bringing up programming models for them, software development models for them.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at all these frameworks and languages available for you to become, like, to write code, making writing code for you easier and easier and easier and easier.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember when I started about, 15 years back? I was writing assembly code.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally wrote assembly code.
I'm sorry.
And then I saw C, and I was like, wow. And now I look at C# or any other language, and I'm like, holy. And it is really, really moving up. And I believe the tools and the technology available today, anyone can write code, anyone should write code, even if it is just.
Are they teaching it in classrooms yet?
I do believe they are trying their best. I know that there are a lot of people who put their children through extracurricular activities,
mm-hmm.
like robotics, or just learn bare bones programming using JavaScript or one of the easier languages.
I actually used to teach high school in a former life, and it was my goal to help high school students figure out whether or not they hated software development before they got to college, because when I was in college, I was in a computer engineering program, and I saw so many people come into these programs mm-hmm. where they're writing code and realize this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. Yep. And in fact, I absolutely hate it. I mean, I'm spending my whole day in code, which, yep, if you think about it, that does kind of sound boring, you know? It's not for us if we love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. But I wanted these high schoolers to realize right from the get-go that they hated it and not waste a year or two of their university career.
So let me ask you, right? I mean, since you have experience really teaching it to the people who are at probably really impressionable age, right?
Yeah.
And they love it, they love it. If they hate it, well, they hate it for life. Hopefully not, but no. Now, what are some of the things that you found really effective when teaching programming to these kids, saying, these are the things we really, really loved, and we would love for those things to be expanded so that, you know, we can take them, put them back in programming languages and compilers and so on, and app development, so that they can go ahead and actually be loving it from the very beginning, all the way through?
Well, it's a good question. I think that most of the students, my experience, most of the students, whenever they were first trying to do something, they had in their minds this end product. I want to make this thing that's cool, this thing that I've already seen on YouTube or whatever. And so I want to make a mech warrior or something. Yep. And so they've got this end result in mind. And when we start talking in the classroom about, okay, this is what it takes to actually model a mech warrior.
Uh-huh.
Or when they run an app on their phone, and then they say, what is it going to take to make that app? And we go through the process, or at least the overview of what it's, yep, going to take to make that app. Some of them are really discouraged. And they actually have a really good grasp on the essence of what they want to do. And I think that that's invaluable. Mm-hmm. I've talked before about this whole essence and ceremony thing. You know, this is what I want to do,
yep,
and this is what it's going to take to actually get it done. And if they're discouraged by the ceremony, that's not all bad at first. It's good for us to have a pure view of what it is that we want to do,
yep,
because the ceremony may go away. And in fact, even since I was teaching high school, so many things are so much easier.
Yep.
When I go to crowds now and I show them Skira Construct 2, yep, they go, oh, wow, this is great. I can make a game in no time at all. There's not a very big gap between the essence and, mm-hmm, the ceremony. You know, they can get an end result. They can get their idea prototyped, at least, in no time at all, you know?
And so I guess, you know, really what you're saying is we need to build tools and technologies that make people get to sort of the visual end result portion of their,
yeah,
project,
yeah,
as quickly as possible.
That's right.
Even if it is not fully functional, because then that really gives them...
Pulls them in.
And,
yeah,
at that time, they are hooked. I mean, if I just put this extra 5 minutes of my work or half a day's worth of work, then I would get this fully functional. I would totally agree with you. I have been playing around with Unity for, mm-hmm, a while, and I have tried to do gaming, like, you know, about, let's say, 5 years back. I tried to write games for you know, application app stores or games on desktop and so on, and that was incredibly hard because
bones about it. It's hard.
You take something and you say, I want to put this at such and such coordinates. It needs to move X, Y, and Z and whatever, and in the end, you give up in frustration, sheer frustration. And you look at some of the modern tools, like, as you said, Skira or Unity, right? These have just made the visual portion of the entire development process so easy,
mm-hmm,
that you don't have to think about it. And I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
That's how software is going to evolve.
Yeah.
It's going to be almost purely visual development for the visual part of it. And when you really have to go and write logic, that's where you really need to go and deal with the traditional model of programming.
Do you remember when Microsoft introduced the advanced button, whenever we had wizards to go,
yep,
through everything, and then there was always the simple way, or you click the advanced, you know, > and then it showed all these options that my grandma didn't,
yep,
want to see, you know, but I want to see. And I feel like there's still going to be that path. Like, somebody has, mm-hmm, to make the Unity engine, right?
Somebody has to
make
have the
that
engine.
Job.
Yep.
They've got to be underneath in the wiring, and thank God there are people that are geeky enough to,
yep,
want that job.
Totally agree.
But we definitely need to have that layer of abstraction where the student comes in and he just starts using Unity at that level and makes a game.
I couldn't agree with it more. I mean, I see, just like any other craft, you are going to have this layering of skills.
Yeah.
There will be a small niche group of people who will be really, really good at building engines or building frameworks,
yeah,
or building compilers. And we definitely need those people because they are the one that push the boundary of,
yeah,
what is possible.
Yeah. But, and they may also be the people with the domain knowledge or the business knowledge mm-hmm. or the artistic creativity to really make something light up. Whereas I'm kind of a propeller head
yep.
and I'm inspired when it just kind of works.
Exactly.
But whenever they don't care that it works, they care that it looks really good and right and it's fun or it makes, you know, good sense. Or,
agreed. And I will quote you the sentence that I heard in Unity. This is from, I believe, the creator of Ultima series of games, Ultima Online. Mm-hmm. And it was a role-playing game, pretty famous in its time. And he said this line for Unity. And he said that, I will divide the entire timeline of game development into two portions, just like we have before Christ, and then we have AD.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will call the timeline before creation of Unity, BCU. And what he really
meant. You think it's that dramatic?
I thought it was really dramatic. It was like, wow, because he said that it used to take armies of engineers
yeah.
just to get the engine ready.
Yeah.
So 6 months of development before we could see the first real playable game on the screen. And now it takes barely a month. I mean, you have from the very first day, you have stuff showing on the screen, and that's extremely productive, and it makes the development process a lot smoother.
Yeah.
So.
And you can still hit the advanced button
and you can
make it do whatever you want.
Well, trust me, Unity does have that advanced mode.
Did you see the announcement today about Unity VS?
Isn't that the plugin
yeah.
used for Visual Studio to Unity? It used to be
right.
a commercial product, right?
Yeah, it is a commercial product. It's made by a company called Syntax Tree,
mm-hmm.
and Microsoft acquired Syntax Tree, and now owns the Unity
wow.
VS plugin, and has said that they're going to offer it for free.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was one thing that was missing, I would say, in Unity, it is the Visual Studio integration by default.
Yeah.
Like, I
right.
had Unity VS, and I would not trade it for anything. And once it is in, I mean, the power of that thing just unfolds and becomes tenfold.
Yeah.
So that is amazing.
I think if there was one thing that I would miss, it is later versions of .NET code.
Well, I mean, that I am hoping eventually.
We're all hoping.
We are all hoping that they will catch up.
But hey, it sure is a lot better than the alternatives.
See, I mean, if you just layer them up, right, technologies difficulty-wise, you will have Unity here, and then you will have Cocoa Studio here, and then you will have the lower layer technologies where you deal with pretty much direct metal right here, right?
Yeah.
So right now, the most advanced game development is through Unity, and that is the best it is. We can only hope that it improves over time.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm really looking forward to having these kinds of conversations just about being a developer,
mm-hmm.
Being a part of the developer community locally or globally
mm-hmm.
Through the internet. And that's exactly what Code Chat is all about. And you can actually join the conversation at Code Chat, not at Code Chat, but pound Code Chat on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have a little conversation there. And you can tune in. There's obviously going to be an RSS feed. You can sign up for
mm-hmm.
the video, the vodcast, the podcast,
polycast.
The polycast.
I like that term.
Yeah, polycast. Let's just distribute it every which way
hash
we can.
Polycast.
Hash polycast. Part of the conversation there.
Yeah. So
good. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the show today, Sanjeev.
Great to be here,
yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah. And was your last name VCR?
It's let's just call it Sanjeev and leave it at that.
Okay. There we go. And thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you on the next Code Chat.
All right, guys. See you around. We'll be right back.